Have you ever had something in your life bother you to the point where you lose sleep? So stressed that you're unsettled all the time. Something so big in your mind that it can't be fixed, can't be remedied, and it just goes on and on and on. And there's frustration, and there's depression, and there's anxiety. This issue then becomes something that you carry around, wrapped up, bound together, in a sack, and you drag it around your life. And it's so insoluble, you can't touch it. In the back of your mind, and you don't use the words to phrase this, but in the back of your mind, you feel like it's even too late, too big, too difficult, too impossible to bring to God. I'm just going to have to deal with this. I'm just going to have to handle this. It could be something with relationships gone wrong. It could be something with employment. It could be something with family. It could be ongoing issues at school. It could be temptations that you struggle with, sins that are in your life. It could be health issues. And we deal with these things. We're stressed. We lose sleep over them. And yet what we find, the longer that these issues stay with us, the longer they remain with us, the longer that we carry them around, that we end up with worry and anxiety and frustration and anger, depression, guilt, and fear. Emotional stress like this can, may, could lead to sleep disorders, eating disorders, physical issues like ulcers, high blood pressure, things that affect us on a daily basis. They could also give us a skewed perspective. Our logic disappears. Seeking relief from bad relationships, you all heard the song. How can this be so wrong when it feels so right? Because their logic says, I need relief. I need this direction. So we lose logic and perspective. How can this be so wrong when it feels so right? And if these issues remain unaddressed, if they continue to work us over, we may even begin to have doubts about our journey, about the plan of God, about God and his power to manage his affairs and to help us. And from doubt grows fear, and from fear grows helplessness. And from helplessness grows hopelessness. And from hopelessness comes inaction. We are frozen in step. We don't take the next step. We can't move. We can't think. We can't fix. Enter an attitude. But we say, isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be the strong, silent type. My dad never would complain. He was the strong, silent type. And I, to this day, I don't remember one complaint from him. And yet, he went through a lot of things, but he did it on his own. And a lot of his decisions came based on self-counsel. The strong, silent type. Aren't we supposed to suffer in silence, as it were? To tough it out? To hang in there, to persevere, to be long-suffering. Sometimes we hear, hey, show some backbone, son. So we cinch up our belts, set our jaw, become determined to plow through that which was beating us up. And we try and we fail. And we try and we fail. We try and we fail until we realize there's something missing. There is something missing. Oh, we ask for strength. We ask for help. But we still try and fail. Make no mistake, what's taking place is a battle for our mind. It's a battle for our mind. For those who like titles, I'm not a title person. But this message is titled, Give Your Troubles to God. Give your troubles to God. So there is warfare taking place between our ears. And the times when we find ourselves we can't sleep, when we find ourselves with issues that cause our blood pressure to rise, cause us not to sleep, cause us to lose the desire to eat and things like that. There's a warfare, and it's between the ears. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. Here Paul is talking about the type of adversary we have and the type of warfare we face. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. They're not three-dimensional. We can't hold them and hang on to them or wield them. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's where the warfare is. It's between our ears. And he goes on, to jump over with me, please, to Ephesians 6. He goes on to enumerate how to protect ourselves from this spiritual, mental, emotional fight. Ephesians 6, verse 13, talking about the armor of God. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Our job is to stand, to put on the armor, and face these things that are coming after us. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." You know, if you were going between cities, you usually went in a caravan because of the robbers that would meet you along the way and take all your stuff. Or, you know, you got the kings, they bring their people, and "I like your kingdom, so I'm going to take your kingdom," and then they fight. You know, that's what they're talking about. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." We have an adversary who stirs up people around us to distract us. And the fight that we have with that adversary, our adversary is spiritual. It's for our minds. And that adversary uses whatever is in our life to distract us, whether it's relationships that are sour, jobs that are going south, whether we find ourselves financially difficult, whatever it is. Our adversary loves pushing those buttons because it will distract us from the journey that we're on. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand..." Oh, I already read that. 14. "Stand, therefore..." And that's a choice. To stop. To face what the issues are. "Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth." John 17:17. God's word is truth. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness..." We put on God's righteousness, living the way he wants us to live. "Having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We're to be peacemakers, regardless of how bad drivers try and cut me off the road. We're to be peacemakers. "Above all, taking the shield of faith," which is what we believe. It is the collection of our beliefs. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and God, "with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." The fiery darts, excuse me, of the wicked one are the things that are thrown at us. Where's my list? Get my list back here. I lost my list. Yeah, the list of things that are designed to distract us. Worry, anger, frustration, depression, anxiety, guilt, fear, temptation, sin. Those are fiery darts. I'll give a sermon on it. Take on the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. The seat of our thought processes is on top of our head. It's in our mind. Our spirit combines with God's Holy Spirit, and now we have this shield, this understanding of salvation. So our perspective of today and tomorrow is different. I can't imagine where I would be if I didn't have the knowledge I have. Actually, I've got a good imagination. I kind of know where I would be. It would not be here. It would not be here. Where's? Second Corinthians. No, I was in Ephesians. Never mind. I know I have the fan here, and it blew my pages. But without the fan, I wouldn't have a jacket. Okay, back here. I'll take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. I mean, there needs to be a communication with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We've got, everyone in this room has issues. Everyone in this room, not everything is going exactly the way we want. Not everything is going perfectly. And we could ask, you know, we prayed, we studied, we meditated, we fast, and yet we still find ourselves struggling. So what's being left undone? What's being left undone? So the question is, now what? And whatever we're experiencing, whether it's anguish, fear, anger, depression, guilt, anxiety, temptation, sin. Of course, sin is the biggest burden that we have. All are burdens, and burdens that threaten our successful journey to God's kingdom. So there is a step we may have left out in our seeking help from God. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus Christ is giving instruction to his disciples. He's reaching out to them and to those whom God will call. He's reaching out to us today down through the centuries. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke or my obligation upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are times we think that we've hit the end of the road. We can't take any more. We've got so much sitting on us. I would have conversations with Mr. Spears, Rex Spears. Boy, I miss that man. And we would chat about what we're going through. We would chat about some of the studies we were having. And we would chat about individuals who were going through trials and that we would pray for them. And Mr. Spears, who had diabetes, Mr. Spears, who was on dialysis, Mr. Spears, who had this, that, and the other. And he would say, "I have no problems." And when we compare ourselves to others, "I have no problems. I have exactly what I need for me right here at the right time." Where was I? 28. Yes. "Come to me, all you who labor or are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There are times we do bring our issues to God. We pray. We study. We try and study about situations that may have been the same in the examples in God's Word. We meditate. How did this come about to me? What can I do? How did this work? We meditate on it, and sometimes we even fast. "Father, take this from me." But do we do this? Do we in detail bring our heavy burdens to God in detail and make the exchange? Do you see that there's an exchange here between verse 28 and 29? Bring me your burden. Bring me what you're laboring on. and take my yoke, take my obligation upon you. There's an exchange that takes place. Now, whatever we go through, the consequence of what we're going through, they don't necessarily disappear. You know, sometimes that's frustrating. They don't necessarily disappear. But we're given perspective, we're given strength, we're given comfort and encouragement to continue. But we go to God with our burdens, and we walk away with the obligation of God. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me. Now, the word for heavy laden, there won't be a test, but fortizo is the same root word as burden in verse 30. Same root word. So what he is talking about, bring me your burdens and walk away with my yoke. We carry a heavy load at times, and it's a woe is us. It's an ouch. It's a pain. And sometimes we don't know what to do. And we feel like we're on our own. But what God is saying through Matthew is, look, Jesus Christ, our salvation is saying, we will partner up. You will not be alone. Won't necessarily take away what you're going through, but I will strengthen you. I will comfort you. I will help you be successful. Because ultimately, regardless of what you're going through, and it may be different for all of us, the reward is the same. The reward is the same. We come to him, and that's a choice. We take his yoke, which is an obligation, or the commandments that he gives us, and to learn from him. You know, when we bring our burden to him, sometimes it's embarrassing. You go to our boss and say, you may say, well, I messed up, boss. And if the boss is, you know, a strict taskmaster and he's got the whip out and he's used to throwing his weight around, you don't want to go see the boss. But what if you had a boss that was humble and gentle and you knew you could approach him? Well, that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm humble. Bring me your problems. I won't beat you up over them. I will help you with these. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. To me, there's nothing more enjoyable. It's kind of silly, but there's nothing more than just throwing yourself in bed, throwing your arms out and go, I like to sleep. And go to sleep. I like to sleep. I enjoy sleep. And on the very few times when I couldn't, it is absolutely frustrating. It is absolutely frustrating. I like to feel rested. And that's what God will do. We bring our burdens to him. We take the obligation of living this way of life, which we're going to do anyway. No one in God's kingdom is not going to keep the commandments. Not going to be there. So we exchange the burden of the frustration and the anger and the depression and the anguish and the fear and all that for the yoke that he says, take my yoke. And you got the image of what the yoke is, right? You got two oxen and you got this heavy wooden thing that got the little notch for both shoulders of the oxen. Then you put them together and they learn to work together. That's what we're doing. We're learning to work together, partnership with God. That's what it says, right? Remember, we're to be one with God and Jesus Christ. How important that is. How important that is. He offers us rest. You might add another word, relief. You might add another word, freedom. Onesimus is returning to Philemon. He may be a slave, but he'll be treated as free, as a brother. Because the burden of being, in my mind, the burden of being a slave has been lifted off of him. So we come to him. It's our choice. We take his yoke upon us. That's the obligation to live his way. And we learn from him. George Henry Lewes gave the opinion. He says, the only cure for grief is action. I love that phrase. The only cure for grief is action. And there are times when I have come to a standstill, when things were just bothering me to the point I can't take another step. And then I take a step. And then I take another step. And then I take another step. And pretty soon I am back to moving, because what cured whatever brought me to a halt was action, taking action. Now, I've added other words. The only cure for grief is action. The only cure for depression is action. The only cure for fear is action. The only cure for anxiety is action. The only cure for doubt is action. It all adds up in my mind. And what action should we take when we have difficulties in our lives? Let's go to Psalm 55. First one there, start reading. Well, maybe not. I like this phrase here. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be shaken. Get to the point where you've lost faith. When we cast our burdens on him. When we look up the word cast or burden, it also means our lot in life. This is who we are. That literally means that which we are given. We cast our everything on God. When I find I'm coming to a halt, it's because I'm still holding things back. I can handle this. I got the ability to do this. Or I'm just too far deep into this. I don't want to embarrass myself by bringing it to God. Or it's just too big. And I need to get over that. I need to get over that. Cast. I love this phrase because it means to hurl, to throw, to fling, to heave. It's kind of a neat phrase if you think about it. We come to God and we throw our burdens on God. Why do we throw them? So that we don't take them back, or we hand them to God and we don't let go. We throw them away. It's kind of like having a hand grenade. Got a hand grenade. It's got a pin. And the pin holds the spring back. You pull the pin. You don't want to hand it to somebody. You want to throw it. Because if you don't throw it, it comes back on you and hurts you. The word here means to throw or hurl. Get rid of. Dump your burdens. Jesus Christ said, come to me, you heavy laden, those with burdens. Here we're reminded to cast them at him, throw them, so that we don't take them with us. And when he talks about the burdens, it's our lot in life. Not the things that we have to carry physically, not whether we have mortgage and bills and such. It's bring our entire life to him. So the question is, how? How do we do this? We give our troubles to God, and how do we do this? We don't try and handle this. We don't say we got this. We don't just endure this. We must bring our burdens to God. Hopefully, yeah. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Those nights when you're in a sweat and you can't sleep and you know things are not going to go well the next day, or you believe they're not going to go well the next day, and you can't get it out of your mind. You can't shut your mind off. Sleep has left you. It's frustrating. It's angering. It's depressing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And now he follows that with a promise. So we bring everything about us, the whole lot in life, this who we are, the burdens that we have. And then there's a promise here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the warfare is for our mind. Situations may not be fixed. The consequence of mistakes and decisions may not go away. But our ability to handle them, our ability to look at them, the perspective that we need for going forward is enhanced. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. One of my favorite scriptures, I don't know how can you possibly have a favorite scripture, but I do, because this one helps. Isaiah 26:3, great peace have they whose mind is stayed on you, because you trust in him. When I trust God and I keep my mind on God, I have peace, regardless of the situations I find myself in, regardless of whether the situations are fixed, regardless of whether they're fixable, I still have peace. And that peace of mind lets me have peaceful sleep. That peace of mind lets me have normal blood pressure type of things. Isaiah 26:3, if I have a favorite, that's one of a few thousand. God doesn't always remove the consequence, but we're given his peace for his purpose to accomplish his plan. And for each of us, it's perfect. It's perfect because he is working out something for each of us. In the book of James, it says we need to ask for wisdom. These are our burdens. These are my issues. Let me ask for wisdom. It isn't, well, this is how I think I should go. It can't be so wrong if it feels so right. And too often I've seen individuals who make that choice based on an emotion. We know from Paul says to ask for help and to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought. Society would have you distracted. Society would have you distracted. We ask for strength. We ask for perspective. When we recall God's plan, like Mr. Spears would say, when we recall God's plan compared to what I'm going through, I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems. Because that which is coming is so far above anything that I might endure today. I have no problems. There are times when we just go before God and this is my burden. I need encouragement to be comforted to go through this. And God will say, sure. We'll do it together. We'll do it together. And as we do this, as we make our request in detail before God and we are seeking his peace of mind and we're seeking his wisdom and we bring every thought into captivity, we need to remind ourselves, as it says in Deuteronomy, how often it says, remember where you came from. Remember I intervened. Remember the miracles that took place for Israel. And then remember what took place in your life. As I was writing that down, I started having a mental list of absolute intervention. No other explanation for what took place in a number of things in my life. I kind of sat a little higher in the chair. Not because I'm anything great, it's because our Father, Sovereign of the universe, saw fit to look down and intervene. Didn't take away consequences, but he intervened. We're to remember the examples in the Bible. We're to remember the examples of friends and families when we remember what took place in our own lives. We're to call to mind the histories and the experiences. We're to remember that we used to be slaves to this world, slaves to whatever we felt. Lost a word. Never mind. I was talking about this morning where I forget words. I just leave them. Used to be I would fight for the word. But never mind. But we used to be what we used to be and where we used to be are no longer there. I had opportunity a couple of weeks ago to chat about where I was at 18 and 19 and how fortunate this room is not to have faced the draft and Vietnam War, except a couple. And I had friends from high school having been drafted, never came back. That was a tumultuous time. We're slaves to a society. We're slaves to our addictions. That was the word, addictions. And God has freed us from all of that. Doesn't mean we don't stop struggling, but he has freed us from that. You know, when we give our burdens to God, action is required on our part. Psalm 37, I like this phrase here. You know, it's one of my few favorite scriptures. Psalm 37. You might already know what I'm talking about here. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. Our justice is the righteousness of God. But what we are to do is to commit our way. We go back to Psalm 52 that talks about the burdens. That is our lot in life. That is who we are. We bring our everything to God. And we commit them. Commit our way to God. So that our way matches his way. He doesn't match our way. We change to match his way. And God delivers. Verse 38. Verse 38, or 39 rather, sorry. But the salvation of the righteous is from God. God gives us salvation, and it's not physical salvation. He's talking about eternal salvation. Because everything we go through, God allows us to go through to fulfill his plan for each one of us. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. How awesome that is. We give our burdens to God. Jesus Christ shares his burden or his yoke with us. We become partners in that. This becomes a way of life, a way that leads to eternal life. Action is required on our part, and very quickly I'll throw these at you for time's sake. As we fling, as we hurl, as we toss our burdens to God, we are then to flee, F-L-E-E, not the little critter that bounces. 1 Corinthians 10 says we are to flee idolatry. Anything that puts something between us and God. We are to flee idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14. 1 Corinthians 6:18, we are to flee sexual immorality. This world is bent on being twisted about sexuality. We are to flee sexual immorality. 2 Timothy 2:22, we are to flee youthful lusts. Those things that really get us going and get us off track and distract us from the journey that we're to be on. Those are part of the actions that take place when we bring our burdens to God. I do want to go to 1 Timothy 6. Oh, I'm out of notes. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. Oh, that's about right. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. and having food and clothing, with these we shall should be content. Verse 9, actually. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I mean, the ways of this world, this whole mentality, can drive us off the road to salvation. But you, O man, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Leave these things. When something has got a hold of you and is a distraction, if it's something putting something between you and God, the word again is flee, to leave, to run away. You, O man of God, flee these things and pursue, drive with purpose. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I mean, every one of us who has an example, we are confessing the faith that's in us by what we do and what we say. There are things that can separate us from God, and we're to leave them, we're to flee them. The phrase. And since nature abhors a vacuum, if you leave something, you need to fill it up with something. Flee those things and pursue. Fill yourself up with righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. And thereby lay hold of on eternal life. Trials have a purpose. God uses them to teach us, to emphasize, to illustrate, to illuminate the lessons so that we can grow. So that we can grow. A couple of closing scriptures here. James 1. It's kind of a hard one here, unless we actually read all the context and the whole plan that God has for us. First James. Yeah, let's go to First James. 1 verse 2. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you find yourself carrying burdens, we're to count it joy. Boy, that goes against the grain, doesn't it? We count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience. Godly patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We become a mature individual. We can face issues, knowing the direction we're going, knowing where our strength comes from. If any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Because remember, he's gentle and humble, lowly of mind. We can go to him without reproach, and we ask for wisdom, it will be given. But let us ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. We have to go before God, knowing and expecting an answer. Knowing that he will fulfill that promise. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded. We have to believe that when we ask, he will follow through. He will give. And let's get ready to close 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. First Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. When we have a child comes to us and the biggest concern they have and they say, Dad, I've got this problem. Oh, it off comes the jacket. What can I do? Roll up the arms, the shirt sleeves, and you got my attention. How can I help? That's what God does for us. Casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He cares for us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I have a sermon on that, because our adversary is with us, 25-8. It used to be 24-7, but never leaves us. He gets shoved away when we tell him to go in the name of Jesus Christ. He's there ready to pounce back on top of us. Resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. We cast all our burdens and difficulties upon him. And he says, after we still suffer, consequences don't always go away. We'll be made perfect. We will be established. We will be strengthened. And we will be settled. There's nothing more difficult for an individual than being unsettled in an unsettled world. Because where's your foundation? Where's the foundation? I want to close and back in. Well, no, I'll just read it. We were there, James 1. I'll just close with this. For when your faith is tested, and it will be, and it is, and it has been, and it will continue to be, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. This is from the NIT version. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. We have difficulties in our lives. And Jesus Christ said, bring me your burdens. Let's exchange them. You bring me your burdens, and I'll give you my yoke. And my yoke is easy. And while we are not removed from consequence, our perspective still remains on the kingdom of God. He gives us strength to go forward. And we look to him, our salvation, for eternal life. We need to give our troubles to God. I did it. I kept both messages to split sermon length.